I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13Z-3. Our conclusions on the number 666. You know, we've done a whole series of studies on this one verse, Revelation 13, verse 18. And today, we're going to come to some conclusions on it. And we're going to end it. We're going to set it aside. I'm not saying that we've completely exhausted this topic and then we know exactly what it means. But I feel we've got enough understanding thus far so we can move on and get through some other chapters in Revelation and start moving along at a little bit of a quicker pace, because there's some other books I really want to get into as well and so forth. But anyways, let's go and read this verse. Revelation 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. And we found out that in the Greek text, 666 is made up of three letters that represent numeric values: chi, kasi, and stigma. 600 plus 60 plus 6. All right. Conclusion number one. 666 is the numeric value of the name of the Antichrist. He is the mystery man that paganism has longed for ever since the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, which foretold of the coming seed of the serpent. And let's read that verse. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, all the way back in the beginning, we had two seed lines that carried forth two separate sets of doctrines. One, ultimately, paganism, was the worship of the serpent. And the other one, of the woman's seed, all the way up through the tribes of Israel, represented the doctrine of the true Messiah. In other words, you had two families, two sets of beliefs. The family of God versus the family of Satan. And there really is only two different ways. You're either on one side or you're on the other. If you're a non-believer, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, well, in one way or the other, I don't care what religious belief it is, you're following the serpent. And the serpent seed is the expectation. The coming of the serpent seed is the expectation of the coming of the false Messiah for pagans, and has been since the beginning of time. It's what all their mysteries enshrouded, was this coming one, their Savior. And just as all throughout history, our people carried forth the hope that the Messiah was coming, that who was to be born through woman to save us from our enemies. Not just our enemies, but primarily from our sin. But also, I mean, the Messiah is the Savior overall, from sin, from our enemies, from Satan, and so forth. So you have two messiahs. That's what this is all about. the false Messiah versus the true. And very few today worship the true Messiah, while most of the world worships the doctrine of the false Messiah and will accept him when he comes as the ultimate seed of the serpent. All right. It's so important because this prophecy is overlooked by the majority of our Christian churches today. Even the ones that actually, the very few that actually teach God's word. Even this topic is too controversial for many of them. And it's sad because it is the foundation of understanding everything from Genesis to Revelation and helps you understand what's going on in the world today. All right, Paul spoke of this mystery and he called it the mystery of iniquity. And the mystery of iniquity is nothing more than the mystery of the coming serpent seed, the coming serpent man. All right. Am I saying he's going to look like a serpent when he comes or something like that? No, we're talking about it's a symbol of Satan. All right. And Satan's son. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Now I'm going to say something. You know, Adam was made in the image of God. He was to be God's representative, so to speak, on earth, to bring the truth and light unto the world. But he failed. Therefore, God had to send Christ through that same seed line as what many people call the second Adam. Or you could call him the successful Adam, because the other Adam failed. Well, the second Adam was Christ, Jesus Christ. And he came and he saved or he redeemed his people. And he was to be a light unto the world. And so my point is, just as Adam and his seed line and ultimately Christ would be made in the image of God, Satan's seed throughout all the generations have been made in his image. And ultimately, when the Antichrist himself gets here, the beast, he will be in the image of the serpent. That's therefore he is called the serpent man. Some believe it's the devil incarnate, but I believe it's more, I don't understand. Just says we don't understand the Holy Trinity. It's hard to understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's hard to understand that they're all one and the same, but yet they're at the same time they're separate. Because you see, Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of God. While Satan appears to have the same thing with the satanic trinity of the dragon, who is Satan himself, his son, the beast, the 700 beasts, which is a symbol of the Antichrist and his New World Order, and the false prophet, the beast with two horns. So that's the opposite trinity. And that, I'll repeat it again, that son, the son of the dragon, or the son of the serpent, again, is what pagans have been waiting for throughout the generations. And he may soon be coming. He may soon be coming. And this is what Paul was talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That wicked one, the lawless one. What does lawless mean? It means one who despises all of God's law. What did Satan do in the very beginning? He told Adam and Eve to disobey. or he told Eve to disobey God's direct commands and painted God as a villain, a liar, and an unjust God. He's going to do it again. And that's why this word lawless one, he's going to do it again through his son. And then shall that wicked, lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now at the first day of the millennium when Christ returns, the Satan, the dragon, is cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then he'll be loosed out again upon this earth to deceive the nations one more time. While the beast, the seven-headed beast and the two-horned beast, in other words, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they will be destroyed immediately. They will be cast into the lake of fire. So that's who we're talking about here. We're talking about the beast of Revelation 13, of which the number is all about, 666. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's what this mystery of iniquity is all about. Did it say he is Satan himself? No, it didn't say that. It said that he's coming after the working of Satan. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they loved not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. All right? You know, that's the way people are today. They don't love the truth. They don't seek the truth. This 666 stuff that we've been trying to figure out, they'd look at this as though it's a bunch of nonsense. That we're silly for even trying to figure something out like this. It's sad. You know, those who love the truth and have a desire for it will not be deceived by this wicked one. Conclusion number two. The number 666 has a scientific meaning, therefore paganism has latched onto it. Now, I've talked about this before, how paganism, the religion of the Antichrist, is going to be a synthesis of religion and science. You know, we're moving into a very high-tech generation. You know, we got computers and things like that. But it's getting even to the point where we're getting so high-tech that they're able to manipulate the source codes of creation, the source code of created beings. By that I mean our scientists are able to manipulate DNA. That's not good. That's playing God. And that's what this Antichrist system, the Antichrist in his system, is going to be promoting. Man becoming his own God. And that's why it sells so easy to the multitudes, because people are selfish. And that's what Satan plays on, is mankind's selfish desire. He plays on our pride. He plays on our ego and our lusts. And so let's take a look at this. We talked about, and we went into great detail on what's called the magic square of the sun, or the solar seal. And here is a pagan amulet, which has some pagan stuff on the front there. There you see the six-pointed star, a couple more there. Some obviously some pagan stuff up there. And here we have the magic square of the sun, so-called. Pagans use it in a different way, but it really, when we break it down, we found out, let's take a look. that is nothing more than a numeric square that represents the movements and properties, scientific properties, of the sun as it moves through the 36 constellations. And this thing even represents the different seasons. All kinds of stuff about creation in this simple 6x6 numerical square. And if you look at this, if you add up these rows, sorry, I got this, some of the numbers covered with the bars, but that's number one there. If you add up this, all these rows, each row equals up to 111. And if you add all the rows up this way, you get 666. The same as if you go this way. All the columns add up to 666, or add up to 111, and then they add up to 666. So what is this all about? There we see that number 666. Okay, again, we went over there's a lot of stuff within this solar seal. But we're giving a short review here. But if you add up these diagonals, these also add up to 111. So if we added these up, both of those, you'd get 888. So now we have this mystical number 666. We got 111s, so all kinds of mystical numbers here. And 888. Well, we know 888 is a good number. It's the numeric value of Jesus Christ, or of the name Jesus in the Greek. In other words, we're told that the name of the beast has a numeric value of 666. So what we could say is the name of Jesus equals, or we could say the name of the true Christ equals 888. And therefore we find Jesus. All right. What was fascinating about this as well is we found out that the way this naturally breaks up is it seems to make a pyramid shape. And we overlaid this over the Great Pyramid of Giza, because the Great Pyramid of Giza is also known as, well, many different things, but basically as a solar emblem, an emblem that has to do with the Sun of Righteousness. All right, so that equals, or we see how that fits over there. And, you know, the Great Pyramid actually has lines right here, convex lines, that are part of this makeup as well. So we're seeing all kinds of scientific properties related to the number 666. Here, when you really get into it, 666 appears to be a number related to photosynthesis. That is to say, the conversion of light into matter. So remember, I'll go back to that other slide there. You see all these 111s? 111 in gematria, or gematria, however you want to say that, is all throughout scriptures. I think it's the phrase, let there be light, equals 111, or the sons of light, or something like that. But anyways, 111 symbolizes light beaming down. Now, 111 added up together here converts into 666. That, therefore, you have light shining down, and your produce is the 666. So 666 is a number that seems to represent conversion of light into matter. Very important. Now, carbon is the basic building block for all known life on Earth. And carbon is made up of 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. Now that's there you see it again, 666. So we keep seeing 6 again as a number to do with creation and science and the building blocks of life. So it's not always a bad number. Okay? 666 is therefore the mystical number of creation. That's what it means. You know, just like 888 is a new beginning. Jesus Christ brought a new beginning to us by his death upon the cross. And remember, you saw the cross there on the on that solar seal. It represents new life, regeneration. Well, 666 is the mystical number of creation. Now, here we got a diagram or a picture of what a hexagonal carbon atoms and DNA look like. That is to say, six-sided carbon atoms connected together in the DNA. There we see the number six again with carbon. All right. So what makes 666 bad? Because it's the number of the beast, right? So right when we hear that number, we think Satan, the beast, and everything that's evil. Like I said, 666 in itself is not an evil number. None of God's numbers can really be evil. They just represent different things. They can be twisted and tainted by the devil and his followers. So basically, when you look at this, 666 by itself is a form of numerical blasphemy. And I'll show you why. 666 is the mystical number of creation. Remember, we had 6 days that God created the heavens and the earth, and then he rested on the seventh, which would be the Sabbath. Remember, there was the 777 in that solar seal. And then we get to 888, which is the second Adam on day eight. Now, many people believe that Adam, who was placed in the Garden of Eden, was actually created on the eighth day in the Garden of Eden, while all the other races existed, they're called the pre-Adamites, existed all throughout the earth. But just Adam was placed in that special garden, the Garden of Eden. All right, but let me get back to my point here. So basically, what this is, what 666 represents, it represents creation, but how the enemy uses it is in the creation in defiance of the Creator. In other words, you could think of it as a banner. You think of Satan protesting during his first rebellion. And you think of him having people hold up the signs with 666 on there, declaring that we, the creation, are going to rebel against Almighty God. The creation versus God. That's what this is all about. That's what this number means. That's why they magnify it. They magnify 666 because they're trying to magnify the creation over the Creator. And that's done today. People worry about saving Mother Earth, but they never crack open their Bibles because they all they can think about is things of creation. All right. Romans 1, verse 22, we're going to read these scriptures. This Paul really summed up the meaning of 666 right here. 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He's talking about pagans. They think they're so wise. I mean, hey, when you listen to all their New Age philosophy and you study paganism and stuff, man, these people really think they're intelligent. They really think they've got it going on. They think they are elevated so far above the rest of us in wisdom and understanding. But they are fools, is what Paul says. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to the uncleanliness, to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God. Now here we go. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What did it say there? They worshipped the 666 more than the Creator. 666 being the mystical number of creation. That's why this number has permeated throughout paganism. Let's turn to Revelation 14, verse 6, and read a couple verses. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. What did that angel say? He said, basically, he says, stop worshiping 666. Stop worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. All right. So there we have it. A fascinating study when you get into that. Anyhow, 666 is also a number we find throughout astronomy. No doubt the reason being is that's one of God's numbers that has to do with creation. So there we find out the Saros cycles or different lunar eclipse lunar cycles and lunar eclipse cycles, and they come every 18 years. And 37 of those equals 666. We did a number of studies on this, so we're not going to go into that. I just wanted to point out in review that it has to do with astronomy as well. Again, there are Saros cycles. Conclusion number 3. 666 is the number representing the pagan sun god who went by many different names throughout history. Remember we talked about that solar seal and stuff? Well, that's why. You see, pagans have, Malachi. It mentions that, Malachi, I think it's the last chapter, Malachi chapter 4. It talks about the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in His wings. And it's in reference to the Messiah as being the light of the world. And in John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is referred to as the light of the world, who came to give light unto men. Well, what pagans have done is they've made this pagan sun god, whom they believe to be the light of the world rather than Jesus Christ. And throughout history, they've placed many different men or different gods or angels or demons up on a pedestal and said, they are the light of the world, the source of all of our blessings, the source of all of our comfort in life. Because that's what the physical sun represents. I mean, think about it. If we didn't have the physical sun here, we wouldn't have life as we know it. So therefore, that's what they have done. Here's a picture of a pagan sun god. I mean, there's so many of them that I couldn't even show you all the slides. Here's one of a pagan sun god doing a yoga stance here, as we can see. Osiris is a false god, was a false god of Egypt, who had a numeric value of 666. So we find out that there are many gods that have that same numeric value of their name. I'm going to read this from page 230 of the Computation of 666. The word Saros, may not only be written like that, but by metathesis so common with the ancients. It could also be written with the Zade first and the Shin last. It then meant the seed man, from sar, seed, or ripening corn, and ish, or ush, man, by the process of inversion of the syllables that arises out of the hieroglyphic style of writing. This became Usar, which is the name of Osiris in his own language, the Egyptian. Osiris is thus 666, just the same as the Saros. For the order in which the letters are placed, of course, makes no difference to the numerical total. That the name of this god is sometimes written Usar and Uasar, Ua meaning boat or Us Ark, is further illustration of the perpetual metathesis that took place when pagan deities were named. In other words, they'd always change the sound of the names, the letters, and things like that, but they always, most often, they added up too. 666. You know, in the book of Revelation, it's as though God just, in Revelation 12 and 13, even chapter 2 and 3, and then we get to 17 and 18 with Mystery Babylon, it's like God just ripped the cover off of paganism and exposed it. He told us who the serpent was that people had been worshiping throughout all these different cultures. He told us in Revelation 12 that the serpent is the devil and Satan. He tells us that the beast is evil, that he's the lawless one, and that he has a mysterious name. And on the list goes. So that's why we've been studying a lot about paganism, because Revelation demands that we understand what paganism is, what their doctrines are, so that we can understand what Revelation is trying to tell us. When Revelation came out, that was the downfall of paganism in the Western Christian civilization throughout Europe. And then, of course, later on into America here. But there's a reason why paganism fell. Because, you know, when Christians read the book of Revelation, and they had been pagans, many of them had been pagans prior, they knew, oh my gosh, what I've been doing is Satan worship. I've been deceived into all this stuff. And Revelation explained it to them. That's why anybody who tries to say that Revelation should not be in the Bible, you ought to mark that person. Because Revelation is the book that ties all the loose ends of the Bible together from Genesis all the way through the book of Jude. It's so important that there was a warning placed there at the end of it. It says, if any man shall add or take away from the words of the prophecy that are written in this book, the book of Revelation, that man's name will be erased out of the book of life. And I'm telling you, there are some so-called Christians out there that say that Revelation shouldn't be in the Bible, or they say you can't build a philosophical understandings or religious dogma off of the book of Revelation. What are you talking about? fool. The book of Revelation is the most important book to us at this time, because it's like, you know, when Jeremiah came, he was the direct prophet for that age. Well, Revelation is pretty much the direct prophecy to us today. Of course, the two witnesses will come, and they are called two prophets. So we will have some more insight coming up. Anyways, pagan gods, most pagan gods throughout history, in one way or the other, had a name that equaled 666. And here's a whole list of them. Why would that be? Because they're the same. They're the same false sun god. It's all Satan worship. It's all these gods represented the seed of the serpent, Satan's Messiah. Made in his image. We found out that Nero Caesar also had a name that equaled 666. Interesting. A persecutor of Christians. There is a man in the Bible who tried to deceive the Israelites. His name was Hamor, son Shechem. Son of Shechem. His name equaled 666. And then, of course, we come to America's favorite, President Obama. As you can see here, the big O back here. We're going to talk about this here. Now, am I saying that Obama's the Antichrist? No, I'm not saying that at all. Am I saying it's impossible? No, I mean, we always got to be alert, especially when we see this symbol here. This symbol, Obama's logo, is a symbol of the pagan sun god. It represents, you see right here in the middle of his O here, it represents the rising sun. In other words, what they're saying is Obama is the rising sun who's come to bring light to a dark world. Think about it. Everything that Obama's doing is he's saying we got to bring change. He's saying everything about Christian, Western Christian civilization was evil. And we ought to pay for our sins and we ought to change into something different. Very interesting that somehow he ends up with this pagan sun god logo. And that's what this great mystery is all about. Again, do I think Obama's the Antichrist? I don't. I think the Antichrist will be better, but we can't ignore some of the signs. This always reminds me of, you know, Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. He's the light of the world. No one else is. So, if nothing else, this is just plain out-and-out blasphemy that Obama would use this as his logo. And here, again, he's represented as the pagan sun god. We went over that last week, or last study. Now, when you convert the first and last letters, I got it down here, key, and stigma are the first and last letters of the word Christ. All right? Or actually, stigma is not, sigma is very similar, so it's a little bit different. But basically what you have here in the Greek text in 666, if I was to put this into English, you have the serpent in the middle of the word Christ. It's a cipher. So this is what you have here is the serpent seed Messiah in place of the true Messiah. That's what it boils down to, my friends. And then when you start seeing 666, you always see that it's connected with the sun, the seed, and the serpent. every amount of research I did went back to sun worship or serpent worship. That's what paganism, that's what this is all about. And their doctrines are near the same, just different flavors. Just different flavors. And I will mention something. Remember we talked about the acrostic IOS representing the phallus? The I representing the phallus? These are three emblems that the pagans pretty much worship. The phallus, the I, which was the phallus, the O, which represented the seed or the sun, and the serpent, which obviously represents the serpent. Here you really have the same thing. Whoops. I'll get back there. Here you really have the same thing. You have the sun, the seed, and the serpent. Well, in paganism, the phallus and the sun are interchangeable. And I'll explain why. Because the sun, remember, is the regenerating, the life-giving force. Well, the pagans worshipped the phallus, or the male unit, as the regenerating power, or the life-giving force. So they were interchangeable within paganism. So basically, you have here the sun, the seed, and the serpent all together. This is IOS. IOS again. As part of that hidden acrostic we discovered during our last study. But here you have the serpent, sun here. He's got the tail in his mouth, supposed to represent the serpent for eternity. And when we did a lot of factoring of the number 666, and we found out that six, you know, there are 36 constellations, that 6 times 6, 111 times 6 equals 666, and we got all kinds of interesting numerics that we went over. 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216. You add a zero onto that, that's the diameter of the moon. And so on. All right, we're not going to go into all that. We're just reviewing. But let's go to page 282 in Number in Scripture and see what Dr. Bollinger had to say. I believe we read this before, but we're going to read it again. For the number 666, he says, it is the number of a man, or number of a name, Revelation 13, verse 17 through 18, when the name of the Antichrist is known, its gematria will doubtless be found to be the number 666. Now, that's another conclusion. And I agree with Dr. Bollinger here. When the Antichrist appears, his name will doubtless add up to, the letters of his name will add up to 666. Now, does that mean anybody's name who has that today? If we find somebody that does that mean they're the Antichrist? No, that would just be one indicator. I have no doubt. Otherwise, I don't understand the purpose of giving us that clue. That's the reason. It's the number of a name. It's the numeric value of a person's name. So, anyways, but this number has, we believe, a far deeper reference to and connection with the secret mysteries of the ancient religions, which will again be manifested in connection with the last great apostasy. So, in other words, we're going to start seeing this number pop up more and more. As we pointed out in the series, 666, Disney uses it. I mean, Hollywood, they sneak that number in there all the time. And now that you've done this study, look out for these things. I mean, phallus worship is all over the place. It's sex, 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 which is actually another meaning of 666, has been Pagans have kind of made that another meaning as sex, sex, sex. It's everywhere. All right. He says, if six is the number of secular or human perfection, then 6-6 is a more emphatic expression of the same fact. And 666 is therefore a concentrated expression of it. 666 is therefore the trinity of human perfection, the perfection of imperfection, the culmination of human pride in independence of God and in opposition to his Christ. And so forth. All right. So that's what it really boils down to. 666 is the number of rebellion. And it belongs to the ultimate leader of that rebellion. And so on. But hey, you know, that's what we've got thus far. I think as time moves on, 666, we're going to see it manifested more and more. So it's something that this topic's going to grow on us. Now we have a good foundation. We understand that it's heavily connected with the sun, with science, with creation, and with rebellion. So I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to move on to Revelation 14 next week. And we're going to talk a little bit about the mark of the beast and his image that we kind of glossed over in the 13th chapter, but it'll be brought up again in the 14th chapter, and we will address it there. But anyways, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 24 when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every single word of God. So see that you study it, see that you consume it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching.